Hello and hey, and welcome back to Unscripted Scripture, where I'm Zach.
And I'm Jack.
Yeah. We are here. We are on our second day, or second episode, I guess, of our series. Going to talk some more plagues.
Oh, how fun.
Maybe some baseball. You know, we're just going to have some fun with it today.
Yeah.
Right, Jack?
That's right, man.
Yeah.
Good to be back.
Yeah, man. I felt like we had a great first beginning, opening, you know, series doing this Moses and plagues thing. I'm excited yeah. For week two.
Me too, man. There's a lot in here, and we're gonna hit four plagues in this one episode.
Four, dude. So you guys better buckle down and get ready because it's about to come at you.
Get your headphones, get some popcorn, sit in your favorite comfy chair or your favorite toilet.
Oh, yeah, lazy boy.
And plug in.
All right. Or, driving your car, man. I know you're listening right now in your car right now. I know.
Yeah.
I can see
you.
Yeah. All right. Anyways, let's start it off. So, we got this man, Moses, all right? Where we left off, I guess I should let you guys know where we left off last week, just so we're, like, refocused, all right? So, last week, we talked about Aaron and his staffs turning into a snake. Like, what? And then we talked about blood and water. Like, everything was blood. Everything that used to be water is now blood. And then there was just frogs everywhere, like covered land. They were sleeping with you at night in your bed. Frogs everywhere. Like, Jack, come on. Frogs everywhere.
Yeah. Thanks for that summary, man.
Right. Yeah.
That was
really good. Yeah. You're welcome, man. I just want to make sure we're all caught up. But we're going to dive into it. The next one is gnats. Gnats, dude. Not the baseball team. But the small little bugs that just fly around.
Yeah, like when you're in the outfield and you're swatting them with your glove, those things.
Yeah.
Those
yes. There's like a whole swarm of them, it seems like.
Yeah.
And, you know, like that's where you just don't want the ball to get hit because you're they're just going to get
I'm fighting out
face.
Here. I'm fighting for my life.
Right. Yeah,
I'm
yeah, yeah.
I'm fighting
yeah.
a plague.
Right. Yeah. But like, okay.
I know that feeling.
I'm sure you do, man. I'm sure you do. But where this all starts is in Exodus 8, 16. Exodus 8, 16 is where it starts, the plague of the gnats. Mm-hmm. And it pretty much, so we start off, we have Moses, we have Aaron, and God asks Moses, he says, tell Aaron to stretch out his staff and strike the dust. And when he does, the whole ground, all the dust will become gnats. Mm. Dude, so, we're talking about, like, we were talking about, like, in the outfield, like, that small storm.
Yeah.
And we were saying that was nasty. Imagine every little tiny dust particle being a gnat.
Oh, you'd be clawing at your eyes and your face. Just get out of my ears. Ugh.
Oh, my. Oh, dude. Ears. That is the most annoying thing ever. For sure.
That's the worst.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
But they're everywhere.
Right.
Everywhere. That's
except,
what verse 18, everywhere.
Right. Except they weren't in that one city, right? Or was this not the one where they... Wait. Let
it says
me
that
refresh.
Throughout all the land of Egypt,
there were gnats. This one, they were everywhere. And the crazy thing about it, this was like the first time that... Pharaoh's magicians, like the Egypt magicians, were like, we can't do this. Like, they tried to produce gnats, which is kind of crazy. Why would they try to do all this stuff just to prove that it wasn't God, that they could do it?
Yeah, I guess so. But, like, how could they not be able to do this, but they could turn
right.
a staff into a snake and, you know, summon the frogs and the blood. Like, the gnats seem, they seem like the easy thing.
Easy. Like, especially when there's, I mean, especially, you're like, oh, there's a gnat. I did that.
Come on.
You know?
Yeah.
So, and then, right. It said the magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God.
Dude, they believed. They were like, this has got to be something greater than us.
They said it. They said the finger of, first, the finger of God. Like, you know, usually you hear, oh, the hand of God is upon you. But the finger of God? What? Like, well, I guess they're small gnats. So, yeah, God just had to put out his finger and the gnats were everywhere.
I love that.
Yeah. Thanks, man. But, you know how Pharaoh is. Well, I mean, how God made him. He made his heart hard. So Pharaoh's heart got hard and he's like, yep, nope, I don't care. And then, so that's the gnats. And the thing about the gnats is it doesn't really say they disappear, whereas every other one, they're like, and then Pharaoh asked Moses to pray and Moses said to God, take away the gnats. Well, that didn't happen here. It just goes right into the plague of the flies.
Yeah, just right away.
Right.
And this is in 20, it begins the next plague. And we're not really sure exactly like how long these plagues last. It's assumed, or what I've researched is it's several weeks total, like all 10 plagues. And we know the plague of blood was a whole week itself. So this is taking a lot of time, man.
Yeah, I saw someone range it from in between like 3 weeks to 7 weeks. And they had every little thing. Maybe I'll find that and then next week we'll go over it. But they had like every little thing, like every plague, how long it took, how long it probably took.
By that, COVID's lasted a lot longer than all these plagues together than
definitely. Yeah.
But this seems so much worse than sickness, COVID.
Yeah. Right, dude. Would you rather have like a long drowned out plague or like a ton of horrible plagues in just a little
amount of time? That's hard. I mean, COVID's been pretty bad. A lot of people have died because of it, but still, this is brutal. I can't imagine what they had to go through, but you know, that's what Pharaoh gets, hardened heart.
Right. Yeah.
So moving into the plague of flies. Yeah. The Lord says, let my people go. We see it again.
Let my people go.
If you do not let them go, I'll send swarms of flies on you and your officials, your people and your houses. Everywhere be covered with flies, man. Mm. This is when if I was smart and I was in Egypt, I'd get into the fly swatter business or the bug zapper business, and I'd make a killing.
Yo, you know, fly swatters is the only like tool that has not changed over the years because it just works.
Really?
Yeah, I heard it on the radio the other day.
That's awesome.
The only thing that it's upgraded is the fly zapper.
Yeah.
You know, a little electrical and, you know, zap them to death.
I'm sure the Egyptians adapted some kind of fly swatter. They had to have been like, let's use this wooden big spatula.
Or like big leaves, like palm branch leaves, you know? And you're just whacking them with that.
Oh, brutal.
Yeah, they knew what they were doing. But Pharaoh did not know what he was doing because he... How'd you like that little segue? Yeah.
Perfect.
Flies just kept on coming.
This is the first plague that we've seen so far where it's straight from the Lord's power. He didn't ask Aaron or Moses. He didn't ask Aaron to lay a staff, stretch out his staff. This is directly from God. I don't know if there's any significance for that, or it's just the fact that, you know, the Lord said, you know, I'm going to do this because this is going to be bad.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that, Jack. That's good. But it was everything but the land of Gershon, right?
Yeah.
Where my people live.
Yeah, so protected the Israelites.
Yeah. So, like, everywhere but there. So, like, you know, everyone that was, like, an official or worked for Pharaoh was like, dang, man, maybe I should go join them because
They didn't want to be an Egyptian.
Right. Yeah. But as it continues on, we kind of hear about just the same thing. Like, I will make the distinction between my people and your people. This sign will occur tomorrow. And then the more and more flies there, it just got denser and denser, it says, into Pharaoh's palace and into his houses and in his officials' houses.
Yeah. I think this is great. I mean, this, yeah, and we go on like this, in 25, Pharaoh says, he summons Moses and Aaron. He says, go sacrifice to your God here in the land. And this reflects back to the plague of frogs when he asked Moses to pray for him, because he's just so overwhelmed. Like, the flies must have just been so overwhelming that he had to do something. So he's like, you know, just go sacrifice to your God and get rid of this, and I'll allow you to go for 3 days into the wilderness. But Moses said that wouldn't be right, because the sacrifices to our God would be detestable to the Egyptians. And he was wondering if the Egyptians would stone him. But he said, we have to go 3 days into the wilderness to do these sacrifices. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go offer them, but you can't go very far, because he was afraid they'd skedaddle and hop out of there, you know, and flee. But Moses replied that he would pray for the Lord, and the flies would leave him.
Yep. And that's what happened. Moses prayed. Then he said, I'll pray as soon as I leave. And he did. And, the Lord did what Moses asked, and he took away the flies and Pharaoh and his people and his officials. Not a fly remained. Like, no fly. Which, that'd be great. Like, okay, it wouldn't be great to have all the flies, but if, like, there was no flies then, you'd be like, oh my word, this is awesome.
You know what would have been funny is if God sent the frogs back to kill all the flies.
Right? Dude, I was thinking that too. Why? Yeah, anyways.
Like, why didn't he send the flies first and then the frogs?
Because then it would have been watch what you pray for would have been a lesson. Because they would have prayed for no more flies. So he'd be like, all right, man, then you're getting a whole bunch of frogs. And they'd be like, ah, crap, I want the flies back. These frogs are nasty. That's why.
That's why, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so, you know, Pharaoh, he's like, yeah, all right. That was cool. You got rid of him. So now I'm going to go back on my word and not let your people go.
Yeah. Snuck by again. He pulled the wool over their eyes. It stinks, man.
Right. But yeah.
That's who he was. He was a dictator. He was a ruthless ruler. And it was all part of God's plan.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There had to be 10. That was the number of Exodus, you know? You got the 10 commandments, 10 plagues.
That's right.
I don't know what else was 10, but we got 2. So that's good. So we get into the next plague, which that's plague. Let's see. We're on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's the livestock. Is that number 5? It doesn't really matter.
Yep.
We're on to the next plague. And it's the one of the livestock. So like everything that was pretty much important to these people, like livestock was huge back then. Like these guys are farmers. That's how they're getting their food. You know, this is Egypt's way of eating, and God kills all the Egyptians' livestock.
Everything.
But doesn't kill one Israelite's livestock, which is crazy, because Pharaoh even did investigation, and he researched into it and saw that only the Israelites' livestock survived. And I mean, this livestock is your horses, your donkeys, your camels, your cattle, your sheep, your goats, all of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything. I mean, yeah, it's like you said, what they use for milk, food, everything came from their livestock. So when this happened, it was definitely a blow again. And once Pharaoh, I'm sure once he saw that the Israelites had all their livestock, he's like, what? Like, what in the world? But his heart was unyielding. He would not let him go.
Right. But then, unyielding. This time it says unyielding instead of hardened.
I like that.
Yeah?
I think that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. It is a little fun. A little
it's nice. Different, and I think it's, it shows, like, hardened is one thing, but unyielding means that he's just not letting up. Like, he's never going to stop. He's never going to slow down. He's just continually hard at heart.
True. Hey, good point. Yeah. Nice. All right. Then we get into our next plague. So you want to take away the next plague, Jack?
Sure. Yeah, I think this plague is very short in the Bible, but it's got a lot of significance throughout the Bible. The text carries over. So this is the plague of boils. And this first part is significant. I think it says, take handfuls. Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take handfuls of soot from a furnace and have Moses toss it in the air in the presence of Pharaoh. And it will become a dust over the whole land of Egypt. And festering boils will break out on people and animals throughout the land.
Yeah, man. And I didn't know that like black stuff at the bottom of a fire furnace, that was called soot.
Hmm.
But, yep, that's what it's called.
Soot. Yeah, soot. And I think in the Bible a lot it's referred to like ash or just like debris. But this soot was taken from the fire where the bricks were made. This is supposed to be a symbol of the Israelites' bondage. Hmm. And this is carried over to other verses. If we look at, if you guys turn to Job 2, for those of you who don't know, the story of Job is a great one. He's gone through so much. The Lord tested him by allowing Satan to come in to his life and destroy everything that he has and pretty much put the plagues upon him. But in 2:7, Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Mm. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery, scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes, which is a link back to the plagues, talking about the significance of the soot, the significance of ash, and how it represents our bondage to God and devotion to him. And then when his friends eventually come to him and see him, and they, in verse 12 of that same chapter, when they saw him from a distance, they could hardly recognize him. They began to weep aloud, and they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads. And they sat with him for 7 days and seven nights. And this, again, represents that bondage and that friendship that they all had with each other and with God. And this is all coming from this talk about Exodus, this plague in Exodus, that this plague of boils represented how Israelite is bonded and stood in defiance of Pharaoh. So all this happened, if we're back in Exodus, boils broke out on the people and the animals too, and the magicians couldn't stand before Moses because of the boils that were on them. And again, though, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he wouldn't listen to them. But
right, yeah,
I thought it was crazy, man, how that links to Job.
I didn't know that. I didn't know all that stuff. That's awesome.
Yeah, I didn't either, and I had to really dig into it because I was curious about it because I. You know, you and I knew some of the story of Job, but specifics like that just come from deep study in the Word.
Right. Wow. Bravo.
And I think I have another one, too.
Go for it.
Deuteronomy 28, 28:27. It's this section is called Curses for Disobedience. Talking to the Israelites again, but it's says, the Lord will afflict you with the boils of Egypt and with tumors, festering sores, and the itch from which you cannot be cured. And right there, the chapter curses for disobedience. I just think that again is we can relate that to the plagues and to maintaining obedience and devotion to God.
Wow. Yeah. I
it's heavy.
Deuteronomy, it like became the threat, like, dude, like if you do anything, I will do what I did back in Egypt.
Yeah.
Like I will give you those boils.
This, I mean, and I think that's just because the boils must have been awful. I mean,
oh, yeah,
the magicians couldn't even stand before Moses like that. Right. This had to have been one of the worst plagues. I can't even imagine.
Oh, yeah. Probably just the pain and the uncomfortable, likeness of it all. Just,
I mean, this is the first one that they had actually been afflicted to their own bodies. Like other, true. It was the other plagues were things that happened around them, but this was done to them from God, and there, it's madness.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was pretty crazy that the magicians couldn't even stand there.
Yeah,
but for the animals and the people, like the animals too. Now, I don't know what animals were still left. I guess you got your, because half the livestock was dead. But I mean, knowing Pharaoh, he probably took the Israelites' livestock and used it for his own. Then, it just seems like that's the kind of guy he was.
That's definitely what he would have done.
Right. So I'm guessing it's those animals, and you know, it didn't mention dogs, so maybe their dogs were getting boils too. So yeah, that's pretty crazy. Yeah, there you go. That was four plagues.
I mean, and this, I'm sure they don't even know when it's going to end. And this has to be long for the Egyptians and Moses and Aaron just remaining faithful and trusting in God, maintaining that steadfast perseverance through every plague, you know, because, I mean, the Lord's protecting them, but
right.
Also just having the heart to and the courage to continually go back to Pharaoh when he can honestly kill them anytime he wants to because he has that power. And so just maintaining that strength, I think, is what this really shows. And we're not done yet. We got more plagues coming, and they get darker and darker.
Yeah. I like that, darker, because one of them is darkness. Cool.
Yeah. This is so this was the second episode. Be sure to check us out on Apple, Spotify, and Google. And hit us up on Twitter or Instagram, Unscripted Scripture. And thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, guys. See ya.